Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Friday at 4 o'clock, and at that time we are always joined by the great Ron Jaworski, who you can see on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show tomorrow and every Eagles game. Hey, Jaws.
Spike, Ike, great to be with you guys, and I know I won't be with you next week, so happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you as well, Jaws. Yep. Yeah. So, Jaws, the win over the Raiders, is it like, do we think, from an offensive perspective first, was it just the Raiders, or do you have some real hope for what you saw from the Eagles moving forward?
I start out with the basic premise that it's hard to win in the National Football League. You know, I think of my career and all the years at ESPN of covering the game, it seems to be like sometimes you wonder if you ever get a first down. It's that difficult. So I think the way they handle the Raiders is a good indication of where this team is at. There's an ebb and flow to every season with every team. And how you do adversity is really going to determine where you end up at the end of the season. We lost three games in a row, didn't play good football, a great bounce back game. So I think we handle adversity very well, and I think it'll continue.
So from an offensive perspective, what did you see particularly that you liked in that game?
You must be reading my mind. You know what I like about that win, running the football under center. And yeah. I think running the football under center gets everyone involved in the offense, and that sets up the play action. And every study in recent history has shown that the most explosive plays come out of play action with the quarterback under center. Although the league is now 70% shotgun, the big explosive plays do come out of the shotgun because the illusion of run, the illusion of pass, you don't know what it is till the ball is snapped. And the really good quarterbacks in this league are magicians with the football. They don't know if they hand it off or they kept it. That's where you get the explosive plays. So I thought the 30 snaps under center was a real blessing to me because we hadn't run 30 snaps under center in the previous three games, all losses, by the way. So the fact that they ran the football, threw the football under center, I think Jalen's buying in.
So from a balance standpoint, because one of the, you know, it helps the run game, and you mentioned the pass game under center, but you don't want the defense knowing that if you're going under center, you're running the ball every time, right? And the Eagles, I think Jalen only threw, I think, four or five play action passes under center. What does that balance have to look like? Like, how many times do you have to throw the ball to make sure that the defense isn't just loading up on the run every time you go under center?
Yeah, I think it's different in every case. I don't think there's one way to do it. You know, watching the Rams last night, you know, they're going to have 13 personnel, that one back, three tight ends because they've had some injuries. So, I mean, I think teams sometimes have to adapt and adjust as the game goes on due to injuries or what they think is the game plan. How you going to impact the game plan with, you know, under shotgun or under center or in the shotgun. In fact, you know, when we saw Cameron Lotu go in the game, I thought, okay, you know, here's a guy that hadn't played a whole lot of snaps at the running back position at third tight end. All of a sudden, he gets 19 snaps in the game, or 16 snaps in the game, and he's impactful. So I think there's a reason why he came in. They wanted to run the football out of the under center, and he was in the passing game as well.
I think one of the things we saw too is, you know, you look at the run numbers, and from a yards per carry perspective, it wasn't super impressive. But the fact that they were able to avoid those penalties means that if, you know, you run a couple of times and you only get 6 yards out of those two runs, you're in third and four instead of being a third and nine because of a false start. So I think that has to be, you know, part of the recipe moving forward. Of course, you don't want penalties, but the Eagles have been pretty terrible with that so far this year.
Spike, you absolutely nailed it. You know, I called it staying on schedule, staying ahead of the down. You get in third and long in this league, you're in trouble. It's You know, for years I've been calling third down the money down. That makes or breaks you. You get in third and seven plus, your chance of conversion is not very good. So if you can stay on schedule, give the defense the aura of run or pass, it's a lot easier to convert third down into first down.
Yeah, they're going to take on this Commander team tomorrow night, Jaws. And these type of teams can be dangerous. First of all, it's a divisional opponent in their building. Semi-nationally televised game. There's only two games on tomorrow, so everybody will be watching this game. These teams can be dangerous if you let them hang around, right? You let them hang around. Sure. I'm wondering, going into this game, is this a slow, methodical win, meaning you just do what you need to do to win, or are you trying to go in there with knockout blows early in this game?
Slow and methodical, I think the best way to go and play your game, whatever that game plan may be, play your game. And I, you know, you as a former player and myself as a former player, you know, we've all played in some of these games that mean nothing, and then they're not a whole lot of fun to play in.
Mm-hmm.
But also, some guys, if the game means nothing, you know, some guys get in big games, their butt gets so tight you can't drive a nail up it, you know? I mean, they're
unwound your butt cheeks.
Yeah, they'll pucker up a little bit. Then you get some teams, they know the season's over. They play loose, they play goose. The play caller doesn't worry about anything. You know, so it does make it when some teams play loose, some teams, you know, can't play that way. We'll find out how the Redskins play, or the Commanders play.
George, you just gave the line of the week, man. I can't even recover from that. That was the line of the week right there, man.
I got something good in me.
So what does this Commanders team do that we should be concerned about? Looks like they've played tough, but from an offensive or a defensive perspective, none of the numbers look particularly threatening, I guess, from a Commanders perspective. What do they do well?
Really nothing. I mean, they're and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but you know, when you look at Washington, there's nothing that scares you. And when Jaden Daniels was there, when they had their wide receivers healthy, you know, and their offensive line healthy, they had a chance to be very good. They're not. Most of those guys aren't there. McLaurin's still there. You know, he always presents a problem for the Eagles. But when you look at them defensively, they're not a good pass rushing team. Quite honestly, they're not a very good coverage team. Their linebackers are pretty darn good. But other than that, I don't think there's really a whole lot to worry about. But you don't want to overlook them. I think that's the one thing that I always concern myself with. You take your opponent for granted because they're losing. You know we're going to get their best shot. We got to play them twice in the next 3 weeks. Two wins against the Eagles would make their season. Our season is going to be made down the road. But right now, Washington's going, hey, if we knock these guys out, we made our season. That's our Super Bowl trophy.
Hey, Jaws, before we get to your prediction, I wanted to know if you saw that game last night, and what do you thought, you know, chances are if the Eagles end up going to the Super Bowl, they're either going to have to face the Rams or the Seahawks or both. Curious what you thought of those two teams last night in that game.
Well, I still believe the Rams is a better football team, although they gave a game away and just said, what a crazy, bizarre football and an entertaining game. And, you know, I think the Rams are still the best team in the NFC, but, you know, they found a way to give a game away that could have made it their end of the season a little bit easier. But I still think the Rams is the best team.
Yeah. So why don't you give us your prediction for tomorrow night, Jaws?
Oh. I'll be happy to do that, Spike. I'm going to go with the Birds, 24-17.
That's a push. That's a push. The line's seven, Jaws.
I'm just looking for wins right now.
Okay, all right, Jaws.
All right, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Right. Happy holidays, guys.
Yep.
All right, there. He took the Ike special to another level. You're gonna predict a push.
yeah, at least cover or not. Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, I'm
not predicting pushes.
Not a...
You guys wouldn't even allow me to predict a push.
No.
You have a take.
Yeah, you got to have a take. You know, I'm trying to think about what I...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Where my brain is at with the way the line has moved, because every time that the public thinks, now we don't know what money pushed the line from 5.5 to 7, whether right. it's sharp money or whether it's just regular public money. Mm-hmm. When I saw 5.5, I got a little quiver. I was like, oh, that should be more than that. Seven is what I would have hoped.
Right.
Seven or 7.5. The fact that it opened at 5.5 was a little strange to me, given who the Commanders are and who the Eagles are.
Think they didn't know about the injury situation?
It could have been a little bit of a hedge. Yeah, I guess. But 5.5.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's bet up to 7. I would not touch it at 7,
no,
to be honest with you.
No way.
No. At this point, this Eagles team, covering anything above a field goal, wouldn't. Yeah. Three or less, then right. bet the Eagles. 205-592-9494. Anthony in Southwest Philly. You're on WIP. Ooh. What's up, Ant?
Right. What's happening?
What's up, Ant?
What's going on, man? Happy holidays, we all got. Look. Hey, I ain't calling to talk a lot today. I heard Hugh earlier ask a question. I couldn't call because I was in some meetings for work and everything. But, Spike, Ike, I really called in. I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Today. So when Howie drafted Jalen, what do you think? Just I want to know from a football guy's perspective. Like,
yeah.
You know Howie, right? Like, you know him personally. You've been around and played on this team. Like, what do you think he thought he was getting in Jalen? Like, if you knowing Howie, when he drafted him, we know he was Doug Peterson's guy. You know, Doug really liked him a lot. But when Howie decided to take him, what do you, think he was getting in him?
I think they felt they got a solid insurance policy if Carson couldn't stay healthy. I don't think they drafted Jalen initially to take over Carson's job, especially not within 1 year. They didn't draft him for that. Now, maybe they said, you know what, 2 or 3 years down the road and things with Wentz hasn't changed, we got a nice quarterback that we've developed that has a lot of great qualities that we like that we wouldn't have a problem with moving on with. Because here's the thing. When they drafted Jalen, you got to remember, there were 2 years of Carson's personality trait and
right.
rubbing guys the wrong pause, rubbing guys the wrong way in the locker room, that type of stuff, to where, you know, rumors about him being somewhat of a control freak and he wouldn't do certain things.
Yeah.
So I think they took Jalen as a insurance policy for Carson that they wind up having to cash in sooner than they expected.
I agree with you. I think if you so Jalen got drafted what in the second round, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So he gets drafted in the second round. I think you would agree that if you draft a quarterback in the second round, you're doing one of two things. You're either looking to develop the guy and eventually use him as a trade piece, mm-hmm. or you expect to play him at some point.
Yes.
Right?
I agree with both of those. Yep.
So if from a player perspective though, like I agree with everything you just said, but if knowing Howie, like if when he looked at Jalen going all the way back to his days at Alabama, through his days at Oklahoma, from a player perspective, what do you think he thought he was getting in a player?
Oh, like I think that he thought he was getting a good football player. I think Jalen was still a little rough around the edges as far as still needing to be developed. They coached him at the Senior Bowl, I believe. Or either they saw him at the Senior Bowl. He was in the Senior Bowl that year, and they were down. I can't remember if they were part of the staff or they just went down there to scout him. But I know Doug was the one who really pushed to get him. Like, Doug was the one. Because I think they anticipated things wouldn't get better with Wentz eventually. Right?
Whether it was that year or the year after,
exactly.
at some point.
Exactly,
right.
yes.
Something was going to happen. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
To your point, Anthony, you don't take a quarterback that high in the draft if you don't think very highly of him.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah.
And I think the point that I'm trying to get to here, right, is that if you take a quarterback that high in the draft and then you eventually double down on him by – giving him the kind of contract and the first no trade clause in Eagles history, you think highly of this guy,
yeah.
right? So
yep.
if we're, you know, we've heard all the rumbles over the years about how great Howie Roseman has done as far as building this team over the years, and I agree with that. But when I hear people talk about Jalen, what I hear is people calling Howie an idiot. Because to me, going back to watching Jalen from his freshman year all the way through, I've never seen Jalen until this year. And the first time I ever watched Jalen in college was in a college game against Mercer. Like, I don't know if you remember that game. He went off. It was crazy. Against a small school, right? And I watched him every game since. I've never seen Jalen drop back and throw the ball as much as I watched him do it this year. It's never been a part of his game in all the years that I've been watching him.
Yeah.
So when you look at Jalen, I think Howie knew that he was getting a guy who was very effective as a leader out on the field. He was going to be a really good player as long as you gear things towards what he did well. He's not a guy that's a hot, you know, he's not a Pat Mahomes and all these other kind of guys that can stand in the pocket and just throw it 35 mm-hmm. times a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Howie knew that. So for me, when people, you know, I don't have as many questions about Jalen when we're losing as I do about Howie, you know, what style of football is he playing, right? And if you're looking at the style of football that he's playing, I think that will answer your questions, because when he's playing, you know, play-action game, RPO, he really excels. But to your point, Spike, he's not a guy. He's never going to be a guy, right, that stands in the pocket and he's just going to rip you apart passing the ball. He can do it from time to time, but that's really not what he does or has done over a really long period of time. So I just wanted to hear, you know, your thoughts, because, like I said, you know Howie. You probably know better than anybody what he was thinking and going to get a guy like Jalen.
Well,
he knew he wasn't getting another Carson.
Yeah, but I think...
Well, in multiple ways.
Yeah.
In multiple ways.
But I think there's a lot of gray area in what you said there, right? Like, so on one hand, they draft him. No quarterback that you're taking in the second round, even though that's high to take anybody, no quarterback that you're taking in the second round is a finished product or is a perfect, or they would have gone in the first round.
Yep.
I think, though, sometimes, not that he was going to come into the league and be Joe Burrow, I agree with you that he's not slinging it all over the place, but I do think that they look at these guys and see tools and think about what could their ceiling at a certain thing be. And just to bring up Josh Allen in this context, mm-hmm. because in college, he completed half his passes. Like, yep. Josh Allen was not a good passer in college. And even as he got into the NFL, he was a thrower. Even as he got into the NFL, it took him a minute. I wouldn't call him a pocket passer, mm-hmm. but he certainly has evolved leaps and bounds as a passer.
Dak is another one.
Yeah. Dak's another one.
Dak was a fourth round draft pick.
Lamar Jackson has evolved as a passer. So I think, like, just because he has that evolution may have stopped doesn't mean that they were projecting that it would stop exactly. That's why drafting any player is so tough, mm-hmm. because you're doing a math equation and you don't have enough of the numbers, for lack of a better word, to know. You're guessing on ceiling.
Projecting.
You're projecting. You're guessing on how the guy's going to work. You're all of those things you're really guessing on. And I don't know that they thought, even, and to your original point, I don't know that they thought, if we get rid of Carson, we have our franchise quarterback in Jalen.
No.
They thought we're at least developing someone.
Yes.
You know, so whether they, and as far as paying him, as soon as they win the Super Bowl, you have no choice. Now, I'm not saying that they would have chosen not to, mm-hmm. but as soon as they win the Super Bowl, or as soon as they go to the Super Bowl, you really have no choice but to pay them.
Yep.
It's the same reason why the 49ers paid Brock Purdy. You have to pay the quarterback at that point. So I guess I just don't think it means that because they've always been an offensive line and a run the football team, right? How he's always believed in the trenches. So I guess that all the way to get to the point is that just because they took him, they were high on him when they took him, and they paid him, doesn't mean that moving forward they're like, we want to lock ourselves into this style of football because of what his limitations are. Mm-hmm. Now, they might decide they need to, and maybe they change things moving forward. Maybe they don't pay two wide receivers, you know, moving forward. Maybe they pay another running back. Maybe they decide to change how they do offense completely, you know. But I think it's an interesting question, but I don't think what they're thinking was at the moment in 2020 necessarily dictates the way that they're going to think in 2026, 2027, 2028.
No, I agree with you, Spike, and just one more point on this. I agree with you 1,000% on that, but I think we all have to remember what Howie was coming out of just a few years. Yeah, we have won the Super Bowl a couple years, you know, prior to that, but right before that Super Bowl win is when, you know, a couple of years before that, Howie had gone through his own things at Philadelphia.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
So yeah.
You go and get a guy like Jalen, and I can guarantee you that Howie wasn't willing to bet his job on, you know, Jalen becoming this passer, this prolific passer.
Sure.
I think what he saw was, we can, if we build around this guy in the right way, if he's our guy, this is what we can get out of this guy if he's got the right components around him.
Yes.
Now, anything else is icing on the cake, right? But we know that we can get this. We'll get a leader. We'll get a guy. If we gear things toward what he does well, we can win. Now, anything else that comes after that is just butter, you know? But,
sure.
But interesting perspective, and I appreciate both of y'all on that.
All right. You too, Ant.
Thank you, Carl, yeah. Anthony.
I think we also got to remember Wentz was injured again. So for the third straight season,
he was hurt again.
He didn't finish because he got the concussion in the playoff game. That certainly had to be frustrating, as well as he was becoming a little more difficult to deal with behind the scenes as far as what he wanted as the quote-unquote franchise guy, trying to reestablish himself in that locker room. I think he had lost the locker room to a certain degree. There were some things in the works there, and they wanted to make sure they had themselves covered just in case this thing went off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it happened sooner than they expected it to happen. I don't think they expected Wentz to ask to be traded a year or two after he just signed an extension here.
Yeah.
And so Jalen was thrust in that position. I think he sort of won them over.
Well, you could tell by the fact that they were
in 22.
Yes. Especially when you go back to before 22, we've talked about
21,
this.
21, that offseason.
Yeah, they were looking at
quarterbacks. The Watson and Russell Wilson conversations were real.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing that you can't project, and this points to Wentz, and I don't know about Hurts, but it certainly points to Wentz, is you talk about development, but then you talk about what is, after that guy succeeds and gets paid, then what is it?
Yes, sir.
Because part of the Wentz thing, I think, was, I have been successful this way. Mm-hmm. I want to play this way because I've been successful this way. I know it works. And they're telling you, no, do it that way.
He's doing it this way,
and he's saying, well, I'm a, you pay me. I'm a big time quarterback. I almost won MVP. And that's another thing that is really hard to predict. That's why, like,
and it's not easy to manage.
No.
Because you hear similar stuff. We've heard the rumors this year that you heard that stuff with Jalen.
Yes.
He doesn't want to run, or he doesn't want to throw the ball over the middle of the field, or all these other things.
Yeah.
So that's just another way of saying, I want to run the offense or play in the offense that makes me comfortable. He's even alluded to that, that it's going to look the way I want it to look. Now, here's where I always say with the organization, you got to be careful. He's the athlete. He's the player. He sees things you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for you to sit, us to sit back and be like, well, he should have threw the ball here, or he should have did this. Well, he's the one out there that's on the field with 300-pound linemen trying to get after him. And so when you always have to take into account what he thinks is in his best interest, but you also have to couch that or measure that a little bit with where you're trying to help him evolve as well.
And I think final thing on this, because I think the drafting and developing, all those things are super interesting. Yeah,
the weird part is,
yeah,
It seems like they found themselves in a very similar situation.
On some level.
As the last one was.
Yes, yes, definitely. Just without the injuries.
Yes.
Like, you know, you wonder what would have happened if Carson didn't have all those injuries. Nick Foles never wins the Super Bowl, all those sorts of things. On top of it, I sent Jack this podcast the other day of just a guy talking about quarterbacks. This guy, Mike Sando, that works for The Athletic. And he wasn't talking about this specifically, but what he was talking about was quarterbacks playing so much sooner than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how that affects it, right? So they're playing sooner than they used to. You can't develop them because, A, you have to get them on the field doing things more simply than normal because you don't have all that time to develop them. But then you walk into this thing where if the guy isn't on the bench for 3 or 4 years and you working with him, then all of a sudden, when they get that contract and they've succeeded, it gets harder to do those things that you would do with a guy who is your developmental quarterback. Like Tanner McKee, I know he's a 6th-round pick, but Tanner McKee has to do whatever they tell him to do.
Yep.
Whatever they tell him to do.
Yep.
And that's every young backup quarterback that is drafted not to be, that doesn't go in right away, mm-hmm. all of those things. So when we were growing up, those quarterbacks would sit on the bench from Aaron Rodgers to whoever it is.
Well, Green Bay has the formula.
Yes.
They know it. They're doing it right.
Draft a guy when you have
a
guy.
Develop.
Now, that ended up being a problem. Aaron Rodgers didn't like it and all those sorts of things. And, you know, there was the same thing with Favre and Aaron Rodgers and all those things. But you have to realize you have to withstand that and do it. But the more money that these guys make, the more powerful that their agents become and the earlier they get, they become starters. And I think that also points to these quarterbacks that got drafted high, that failed, that ended up succeeding somewhere else. I wonder, well, I'm almost sure that if those quarterbacks got drafted into a situation where they were a backup for 3 or 4 years, they may have never had to go to another team because they're developing, their road to development is so much more difficult, than it would have been in that case. If they had a situation like Jordan Love had.
Yeah, they don't, man. The pressure, and even from fan bases, because if that guy who's in there, unless he's winning, everybody's going to be calling for the backup. They're going to be calling for you to put the young guy in there.
Yeah.
Right? But if the vet that's in there, if he is winning and you're getting a chance to learn behind him, that's what Jordan Love got the chance to do. He got to play behind Aaron Rodgers for, 2 years? And then he went in there.
So, Jack, who has the belt currently?
That would be Joe Giglio.
Right. And Joe had quite a week last week.
Yeah.
It would be tough for somebody to take the belt from Joe Giglio.
It really would.
Somebody's going to have to do something big this week. Did anyone do anything big enough to steal the belt from Joe Giglio in the same week? And I know, Jack, you've been thinking about this a lot. The same week that John Cena fights his final match.
Oh, did he retire or turn heel?
He retired, but he lost his final match.
Ah, rats.
You know, as wrestlers do. So the question is, did anybody do anything this week to take the belt from Joe Giglio?
Pretty boring week.
It is. It has been, actually.
A really boring week.
Yes.
Seems like everyone was in mail it in for the holiday mode.
Well, not us.
Not this show.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So we find out if Giglio holds on to the belt next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP After New Joe with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ashdale's got the belt. That's right. I call him by his last name. John Ashdale, the car czar. He's got the belt. The belt for getting you a brand new Hyundai? Is that a thing? I don't know. It is the holiday season, and they do not ignore that at Colonial Hyundai. So they are. It's a season of giving. What are they going to give you? How about 0% financing on your brand new Hyundai, on your new Palisade, Santa Fe, Tucson? Those are all SUVs. The reason I mentioned them is we just got hit with 5 inches of snow. You know you feel more confident when you're driving around an SUV. Drive one with 0% financing. Get your payment lower at Colonial Hyundai. And when you drive your car in there to trade it in, know that they are in the holiday spirit and they're going to give you more than anyone else is for your trade. Again, guaranteed $6,500 no matter what condition it's in. You drive away with that brand new Hyundai, know that you're getting America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Talking more for your trade, 0% financing on any new Hyundai, 200 brand new Hyundais on the lot, over 200. Route 30 in Downingtown is where Colonial Hyundai is. Online at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. In stock vehicles only. Offers can't be combined. Lease Tier 1 credit through HMF. 10,000 miles per year. 20% down plus first payment, tax, tags, and fees. See dealer for full details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.